right there. Outdoor creche kind of situation, something more like a stable. But on cold nights, most people, they're people of the land, they didn't have a lot of means, and so where's the only warm place that they owned? Well, it's inside their one-room house. And so often this was a little recessed area, possibly with a slightly lower floor. And it was there, we believe, if we're going to be as historically accurate as we can be, that a stranger or perhaps a distant relative of Joseph's or Mary's welcomed them into the home. There was no room for them in the inn where they would have had a private room or even a private, you know, condominium-type building. But there was room for them where the animals slept. And there was room for Jesus in the trough, the feeding trough, the manger. You can picture the story happening a little differently that way. You can walk with the shepherds as they scurry hastily back into town, into the heart of Bethlehem, and they say, does anybody know about a woman giving birth tonight? Right? Has anybody seen a pregnant lady? Maybe has anybody heard a baby's cries? It's a little awkward. They're knocking on doors. It might be late. They finally come to the right house. And there he is in swaddling cloths so he can't wriggle out and roll out of the manger. And there are Mary and Joseph. Everything is just as the angels had told them, and so they cannot help but share with joy what the angels told them. And Mary hears this and treasures it in her heart, even as she drifts into a nap of sheer exhaustion. And then Joseph keeps watch over his wife-to-be and this son whom he has adopted as his earthly father. A lot to think about that night, a lot to treasure, a lot to ponder. To be perfectly honest, the historical accuracy doesn't matter too much when it comes to what kind of building they were in. There's a fantastic tradition that started in Mexico called Las Posadas, which often lasts 8 nights from the 16th to the 24th. When our youth group went to Puerto Rico, we had the pleasure of reenacting some of those festivities, and whole groups of children, entire families, cousins, and neighbors and kinfolk will go door to door with candles or flashlights or headlamps, maybe it's a more Fairbanks tradition, and knock on the door. And the families know ahead of time which ones are the ones who are supposed to say no, and finally which one is the one who's supposed to say yes that night. And they say, no, no, get out of here, there's no room for you. And they go house to house to house until finally they reach the house that they are to stay for the night, and there's feasting and celebration and singing and dancing. Not maybe the most historically accurate interpretation of Luke chapter 2 there, but a beautiful one. We don't know if the innkeeper was grumpy or if there were multiple innkeepers who sent Joseph and Mary on their way. It's fun to reenact in children's pageants. But the point of the story is not how many inns turned them down or what kind of building they were in. The point of the story and the point of such beautiful traditions as Las Posadas is that there's an opportunity now, today, tonight, for us to welcome Jesus, for us to open our homes and our hearts to him. So that's a little historical information for you. The fundamental truth, the one incontrovertible fact of Christmas, of our story in God's Word in Luke chapter 2, is that heaven meets earth on Christmas. In the arrival of Jesus, God meets us. John starts his gospel, John chapter 1, verse 1, by saying, in the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And nothing that came into being in all the universe occurred, happened, without the Word. The Logos, the divine order, the mystery of God that is the presence of God that sparked the first stars in our universe, that formed the planet that we walk on today, who gave life to every plant and animal. That very Word took on flesh and became one of us, Emmanuel, God with us. The most common word we use for that is incarnation. It's a word you've probably heard. There's another word, a similar word you've heard before, when you order meat at a Mexican restaurant, when you order the enchiladas, con carne, right? Con carne means with meat. Incarnation is God with meat on. It's kind of weird, kind of awkward, but it's true. Birth is kind of weird, kind of awkward. Jesus comes to us not as a divine angel, not as a mighty conquering king who has the nations bow at the very mention of his name or in the presence of his overwhelming majesty. Jesus comes to us as the most vulnerable, the most vulnerable a human being could possibly be. Newborn, fragile. The parts of his skull have not yet hardened. He's not born in a palace. He's not born in a wealthy estate. Or even born with his aunties and grandparents hovering over him, ready to take care of him. Jesus was born in a state of near emergency. Joseph and Mary forced to leave their own hometown, their own home region, to go to Bethlehem to be registered so that Caesar might have a better estimate of how much he can tax the area. And so they're there in Bethlehem with little family, maybe none at all, few, if any, friends, and no room for them at the inn. While it may not be the outdoor, open-air barn, it's not much better than that either. Jesus comes to us utterly vulnerable, utterly trusting, relying on Joseph and Mary, relying on shepherds and strangers. That is the miracle of Christmas. That God comes to us, yes, but that God trusts us enough to come to us in Jesus. Now, if you've never read the Bible or even one of the Gospels before, spoiler alert, we don't do so well with Jesus. Within the first year or so of his life, he will be threatened with death because Jesus is born, prophesied to be the King of Kings, and the star over Bethlehem signifies it, and the wise men traveling from as far away as Persia or maybe India have seen that star, and they come to see the arrival of this mighty prophesied king that the stars have shown in the sky that he is here. But there's another king already. He's got his own sons lined up for the throne next. And so the young boys of Bethlehem are slaughtered for the sake of King Herod. And it's only by an angel visiting Joseph in a dream and the obedience of Joseph and Mary that they are able to flee to Egypt as refugees for a long period of time before they're finally able to return to Nazareth. And finally, when Jesus begins his ministry, when he begins proclaiming the coming kingdom of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God for all people, starting with God's covenant people, the Jewish people, but extending out to all the corners of the earth. Well, it's not long before the people whom God has trusted Jesus with find a way to arrest him, to crucify him, to bury him. But God trusts us all the same. God is with us. And so the hope of Christmas is also the hope of Easter. That for all of our sinfulness, for all of our selfishness, for all the ways that we have rejected Jesus, have failed to provide room for him in our hearts, in our lives, for all the ways that we have buried Jesus, Jesus is pretty good at not staying buried. So the hope of Christmas is the hope of Easter, the resurrection, that Jesus indeed rose on the third day, that God indeed became man so that man might become like God and might become with God, seated at Jesus' side. The Christmas miracle is that God comes to us, that God trusts us, and finally, even when we might not meet that trust, when we might even betray that trust, God forgives us and comes to us once more. The miracle of Christmas continues. It was on this night some 2,000 plus years ago that heaven met earth, that God became human, incarnate, concarne. But that miracle continues tonight. Brothers and sisters, heaven is still meeting earth. Jesus is still fully human and fully God. And Jesus still trusts us, still comes to us, still meets us where we are. I love this image so much because it captures so much of the Christmas story. And there on Joseph's face and on Mary's sweet napping face, you can see all of humanity. Exhausted, stressed, worried. But there's still hope on their faces. There's still joy. And so, my hope for you this night is that you will take a deep breath here and now in this service and hopefully when you get home too. Take a deep breath. Take it all in. Enjoy this holy moment. Hear the word of God. Trust that Jesus has come to you. Trust that Jesus forgives you all of your sin, even the ways that you might have failed to live up to the trust that he has put in you. That's behind us now. Jesus' love and forgiveness is new and fresh for you today. And Jesus still meets you where you are. It's up to us, it's up to you to make space for him, just as Joseph and Mary did that holy night. Would you please pray with me? Jesus, thank you for trusting us, for coming to us, for forgiving us even when we don't deserve it. Lord God, we ask that by your Spirit, we could welcome you once more. We could enjoy this holy night, taking a deep breath and letting go of all the stress and all the burden of sin that we carry. Simply enjoying you as you come to us fully, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus of Nazareth. And Lord God, whatever is not your word that was spoken, may it fall to the floor like dust. May your word preserve and keep us. Amen.